Okay. I was thinking about the new year, and I was kind of doing a little bit of soul searching and stuff myself, and I kind of came up with a little bit of a Danielism that I wanted to share with you. And it's incorporating those words. One is sort of dreams and hopes. It's on a scale. It's kind of at the top. If we could sort of at the top of the scale would be our dreams and our hopes for life, right? And at the very bottom of the scale would be kind of losing. It would be failure. At the very bottom of the scale. Now, this is my proposal to you. I think that the world, society in general, most of us settle for living somewhere in the middle. I think we call this reality. We call this reality. We're living in the middle. We're not living our hopes and our dreams, and we're not actually in the doghouse yet. We're living somewhere in the middle here. My mom calls this balance. And I remember coming back from mission trips and stuff and saying to my mom, you know, this just isn't right. The world isn't right. Look at the way we live. Look at the way people are done. And my mom used to always say to me, Danielle, what you need is some balance. Now, something in me always used to react to that because I was like, I need balance. That's what I need, you know. And something in me would react to that. I think it was the Spirit of God within me would kind of react to that and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute, is that really what I want? The world says you don't have to live your dreams. We're not all going to be Bill Gates making, you know, billions of dollars. But as long as you're not in the doghouse, somewhere in the middle here is a balance, a stability, a reality. And you could live that. That would be good enough for you to live. I think the world is full of people living in balance, reality. And the gospel that I read, Jesus himself never invites us to balance. He never invites us to balance, as much as my mother would try to say otherwise. I can't find it anywhere in the Bible. Balance. I can't find it anywhere. Jesus says to the rich man who said, what must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says, go balance your checkbook and follow me. No. He said, okay, go sell the majority of what you own. Bring a few choice possessions with you and follow me. No. He says, give it all up. Sell it and give it to the poor and come follow everything. He doesn't call us to balance. Jesus says, you want to follow me? I'm not here to produce peace, folks. It's not going to be an easy life, Jesus says. He says, I'm going to turn mother against father. I'm going to turn families on their heads. I'm going to cause division in the world. Because my message isn't about balance. It's not about, there's nothing about balance in the gospel. I remember seeing the movie Pretty Woman. Anybody seen the movie Pretty Woman? Lots of people. Friend lent it to me over the holidays, so I watched it again. Interesting thing, because the whole thing is really about a dream. If you watch the very opening scene, there's a guy walking across the street in Hollywood. His black guy looks a little down on his luck. He says, what's your dream? Everyone's got a dream comes to Hollywood. What's your dream? And that's how the movie opens up. And then there's a story of a prostitute who meets a really rich, good-looking guy. And the good-looking guy, she sort of has this story that she tells him, you know. When I was a little girl, I used to get in trouble, and my mom would lock me up in the attic, she said. And from the attic, I would have this dream that a prince would come on a white horse. And the prince would come, and it would come all the way up to the attic, and I would wave down to my prince, and the prince would draw his sword and climb up to the tower and rescue me. You all know the story, eh? And so this sort of saga goes on. There's a story, and she falls in love with him, and he falls in love with her. And he says, look, I'd like to see you again a little later after this week. Like, I've arranged for you to have a condo, and I've arranged for you to have, you know, I'm going to give you spending money, and you can buy all kinds of clothes. And she says, well, thanks anyway, you know. And he says, what are you talking about, man? I'm getting you off the streets. Things are going to be better. This is going to be, it's going to be like balance here. She says, thanks anyway. He says, what are you talking about? What is it that you want? She says, a very important thing right here. He says, what is it that you want to her? And she says, I want the dream. I want the dream. I don't want balance. I don't want reality from the world. I want the dream. And she's talking to her prostitute friend, and her prostitute friend says, oh no, you've fallen in love with this guy. Have I taught you nothing? You remember that? And she says, you know, it's true. I've set myself up because it never works out. There's never a dream. It never works out. Who has it ever worked out for? She says to her friend. Who has it ever worked out for? and her friend searches for a name. I'm not going to say it. The only thing she can come up with is a fairy tale figure, Cinderella. The only one she could come up with, right? Cinderella. But listen, we just listened to a testimony about someone who's living a dream. Because I believe in the God of fairy tales. I believe in a God who is able to give us the dream. Not the mediocre, balanced reality of life. I'll go around with the rest of my life with the same sort of get up. At least I got a job. I got some money coming in. God's got a plan. And it's the best plan. And I'm saying the world is calling out to me. Maybe my mom somewhere in the background there is saying, Danielle, what is it you want? And I am defiantly coming to them. And I am saying, I want the dream. I want the dream. And something inside me, the new millennium, is turning something within me. And I'm saying no to the world. I refuse to settle here. I refuse to settle here. I want the dream. I want the dream. So living the dream, what's that like? My dream, I'm just going to share two things with you about my dream. The first part of it is that I want to live the fullness of God in me. I want the fullness of God in me. I want abundant life. I don't want a little bit of God in me. I don't want enough just to inoculate me against, the world. I don't want enough just to keep me safe or to get me into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I'm not interested in that. I want the fullness of God in me. There's a couple scriptures I want to look up. If someone could look up John 4, 13 and 14, get ready to read it out nice and loud. Somebody else, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. John 4, 13 and 14. Okay, and someone with Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Thank you, Jeffrey. Okay, we're talking about a God who can fill. Jesus comes to a Samaritan woman at the well, and we all know the story of the Samaritan woman. It's such a famous story. She comes to the well, and she's looking for water to drink, and she offers Jesus a drink, and Jesus says to her, look, woman, if you only knew the kind of water I had, you'd never offer me a drink. You'd be drinking my water. He sounds like a man with an attitude. And she says, what are you talking about? What kind of water? And he says, you don't understand, see. You've got the water that fills a bios need. You got two words there, Zoe and bios. Bios is life, physical life. It's the stuff that we all have. We breathe, in and out, to live. Jesus heals people in a bios way all the time. He gives people life. That is, starts their breathing again, gets their brain functioning, their heart starts to beat. It's bios life. But Jesus says, I've got water that will give you Zoe life. It's spiritual life. It's the things of the Spirit. It's the things that make you truly alive. Every single thing in creation is alive. Plants are breathing. But God breathes into mankind His Spirit, His Zoe life. And we're more than alive if our spirits are living. We're alive like you read about. Tony Campolo says he starts his sociology classes coming in and asking people, how long have you been alive? And everyone says, well, 19, 21, 22. He says, no. That's how long you've been breathing. That's how long your heart's been pumping and your brain's been functioning a little bit. But how long have you really been alive? How long have you been living? That's Zoe life. And I'm telling you, the dream I'm living, I am raising up in defiance against the world to say, I refuse to be sleeping half the time. I want the fullness of God in me. I want abundant life. Ephesians 1, 22-23 says, the God who fills everything in every way. I want to be filled with Zoe life in every way. Can you imagine? I remember when Steve and I were dating, and we had this rule that there was no... That was a dream. No. We had this rule that we weren't going to kiss until we were engaged. think it started off being married, and then it just was this longest stinking engagement in history. So we... Anyway, we had this dream, we never kissed, and this whole thing was new to me, this whole, like, non-contact land. I used to come home every night, my sister would say, has he kissed you yet? I'd say, no. She's like, he's gay. Face it now, the man's gay. Like, there's... And it was just absolutely unreal to me that somebody would love me for who I was without that kind of physical contact. And I remember holding hands with Stephen. And this may seem like a far, you know, stretch now. But I remember when our hands would just touch in the car, just a little bit, something would happen to me. It was like my whole body was alive. And we would just be holding hands. And I would come home. My sister said, did he kiss you yet? I said, no, but we held hands. I am telling you, it was the best hand holding I've ever done. I don't even think I held hands before that. I mean, my bar will just get to the good stuff. And I am telling you, something in me was truly alive. That's the way I want to live with God all the time. That is the way I want God to fill me with the fullness in every single way. I want to tingle with his sensation. He just needs to glance my baby finger in the car, and I want to be completely and fully alive. Don't you? Two things that prevent it. One, sin. It eats away at the dream. Sin. You know why God hates sin? It eats away at the dream. He wants you to live the dream. He's created you to live the dream. And sin eats away at the dream. It eats away at it. And Brenda, God has miraculously healed her, similar to the way he's healed me in many ways, but I still bear scars in my body, in my mind. I still bear scars of sin. Sin wants to eat the dream away. That's why God hates it. You want to live the dream? Get rid of sin. And number two, ignorance. And I think ignorance is a far cry in this society, but maybe apathy. Ignorance and apathy. It'll eat away at the dream. It'll buy into the world's version of, you know, don't rock the boat. You know, my mom's voice will echo in your head. What you need, girl, is some balance. It'll eat away at the dream. John 1, verse 4. Gospel of John 1, verse 4. Important stuff right here. Talking about Jesus, in him was life. That's Zoe life. And that life was the light of men. That life, Zoe life, is the light of men. And what John's painting a picture of is the world in absolute darkness. There's a world in darkness. Brenda said it herself. She was lost out there. There is an absolute world who's literally asleep, settling in every way. I remember reading John Moore's thing. He said existentialism got its roots in the last century. That's just the meaningless, the absurdity of life without God. Solomon said it best. He said, life without God is utterly meaningless. He said, I tried it all. I tried women. I tried fame. I tried riches. Why do you think you have rich, famous people committing suicide on a regular basis? It's empty when you get there. It is emptiness. Life without God is meaningless. We've got kids today who are figuring it out earlier than they ever have before. Figuring it out, going to school every day saying, what is the point? What is the point of it all? And they've got a point, because the point of it all is God. And if it isn't God, then it's absolutely meaningless. I want to live the fullness of God in me. And I want to take that life, Zoe life, I want to take that light to the world who desperately needs it. And we've got to convince ourselves, in this society, we're all so much asleep that we can hardly see each other. We can hardly see outside our own windows to our neighbors and our friends. And the people around us, they look like they're living in balance. What do they need? They need the dream. They need the dream. God has created them to be something special. And I want to see them live the dream. I'm going to live so that life will come to the world. It's my dream. I'm not settling. In defiance, I come against the world and the enemy. And I say, I refuse to settle for less. This many people on a Sunday morning is not okay with me. It's not okay with me, not because of my pride. It's not okay with me, not because of my reputation. It's not okay with me because you guys are fantastic. I love your faces. It's not okay with me because there's people who are dying in sin, who are lost in the world without meaning and without purpose. And I will refuse to settle for less than the dream to see this whole city won for Christ. This whole city living the dream, raising up in defiance against the enemy who would come against us and say, ah, get some balance. There's no balance in the gospel. I'm living for the dream. What'll come against me? Heartless religion. It's my number one enemy. Heartless religion. Just enough of a shot of the knowledge of God that it keeps you passionless. I'm okay. I believe. To be able to look at the suffering humanity and say, ah, serves them right. Those pagans, those heathens. Heartless religion is our number one enemy, folks. Pascal says later on in your sheet, he says there is a vast distance between knowing God and loving Him. It's not enough for me to know God. I want to be consumed with Him. I want the fullness of God in me so that the things that break the heart of God break my heart as well. Break my heart as well. I'll never forget my theology teacher in training college, an officer in the Salvation Army, and I was doodling, looking around, singing a little song. He said, we're going to study doctrine number 5. Jesus Himself made an atonement for us so that by His suffering and death, we can be presented to God. And he started saying, I'm like, yeah, yeah. I'm like doodling on my, you know, here comes theology. And he just began to expound a little bit on that. Can you believe that Jesus? And as he was speaking, I remember hearing his voice breaking up. I remember looking up from my doodle pad, you know, going, going on, and he couldn't contain himself anymore. He just started crying and crying. He said, I'm so sorry, class. I just can't believe that Jesus died for me. There is a vast distance between knowing God and loving Him. I'm telling you, that guy, theology will always be theology if it stays in your head. You need to live it. Heartless religion is our number one enemy. And number two is indifference. And fear. It's indifference and fear. Wake up. There is a world dying. They want to live a dream. They want something to believe in. There are heroes that have been turned into idols of clay every single day. The band Styx had a song about that. Every night I say a prayer in the hope that there's a heaven. And every day I'm more confused as the saints turn into sinners. Every legend and hero I knew as a child has fallen to idols of clay. And I pray at night that someone would please show me the way. It's on the radio. It's on the radio. They're crying out for the dream. And we've got it. We've got it. Then I raise up in defiance against the enemy and against the world and against my own carnal spirit that would say, Danielle, you've got a nice house and a nice husband. You've got a nice core. You've got it good. Settle down. Relax. Take it easy this year. Spend some more time on yourself. I say, I'm not doing it. I'm not believing it. There's no balance in the kingdom of God. I'm going to live the dream. I'm going to live the dream. That's my dream. Everyone's got to have one, though. That's what the kingdom's about. The kingdom of God is about a whole bunch of people who are consumed with a dream, with a passion for bigger things, who are filled with Zoe life, completely alive. What's your dream? What's your dream? Don't let another year pass you by. Don't do it. Live the dream this year. And I want you to do an exercise. It's not really that emotional, but I want it to be real for you. On the other side of your sheet of paper is your dream. I want you to contemplate what your dream is. Decide what you want to live this year. Have some time of prayer with God and ask Him even this morning before you leave, God, what is it that you want me to do this year? Who is it that you want me to be this year? What's my dream? What's the dream, Holy Spirit, that you have for me? What is it? And I even put a little aside there for barriers to your dream. What are the barriers for your dream? What are they? list them there so you can pray against them, so you can know, I'm not going there. Brenda, before, her barrier to living the dream was her friends. They're going to stop you from living your dream. Write them down. Do something. Knock it over.